Blog Talk Radio.
Boys and Queens, presenting the Dynamic Ball DVD producer, originator of the Sneaker vs. Sneaker category, executive realness contestant, and member of the House of Laquois, sweetie. He's either loved or hated and is broadcasting live all the way from ATL. Without further delay or hesitation, grab your nuts and squeeze your meat for the one and only Tom motherfucking Blumenthal. Dynamic Ball DVD producer, originator of the Sneaker vs. Sneaker category, executive realness contestant, and member of the House of Laquois, sweetie. He's either loved or hated and is broadcasting live all the way from ATL. Without further delay or hesitation, grab your nuts and squeeze your meat for the one and only Tom motherfucking Blumenthal.
What's up, everybody? What's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show for Monday, September 8th, 2008. I'm your host, Tom Blumenthal, and you're listening to, of course, Serve the Kids Radio on blogtalkradio.com/servethekids. It's so great to be back with you guys. It's been a wonderful weekend. I've had a chance to recuperate finally and rest from Labor Day. Most of the queens have left the city and have returned to their various destinations or origins, so that's a good thing. And finally, the city is back to normal. Well, some degree of normalcy is still overrun with queens. But in any event, welcome to the show, everyone. I'm so glad that you guys are joining me. I want to thank you all for being here with me. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you as my guest. Tonight, we have a very special lineup for you guys tonight. You're going to love it. If you don't know who she is, people, go to YouTube immediately and type in Alexis K. Tyler. Alexis is spelled A-L-E-X-Y-S-S K. Tyler, T-Y-L-O-R. You guys have seen her YouTube clips on Walk For Me. She told you why dick will make you slap someone. She is the queen of vagina power. The bitch is crazy. But we have her live on the show tonight, and I must say it has been very difficult to track her down. It took me quite a while to find her, but through persistence and perseverance, we were able to locate her here in Atlanta. She is actually a real person, and she's agreed to be my special guest tonight. So we are just thrilled and on the edge of our seats waiting and anticipating Alexis Tyler coming on the show at 9:15. Let me see here. I'm just so thrilled, and I'm so glad that you guys are joining me. I hope that everyone has had a wonderful weekend and a productive Monday. And I hope you guys are ready for the week ahead. Let me see here. Now, I just sent out a text message. I'm still getting text messages asking me what the show's about while the show is just coming on. I mean, people, please. Now, come on. Let me go to the phone lines and see who's on the phone lines, because I don't want to miss Alexis, her call. I'm monitoring my phones very carefully. If you guys want to, in the first few moments while we wait for Alexis to call in, let me just make this announcement, because I've been seeing this a lot. And, you know, I have to do these fashion faux pas every once in a while, because some people seem not to understand. I'm sorry. I was distracted a moment. Some people have some trouble with some fashion stuff. So I'm going to give you all a fashion tip, because I've been seeing a lot of this. I saw a lot of this past weekend in Atlanta. And apparently you guys are in a rush for winter or fall to get here. So I'm seeing a lot of people wearing hoodies, little coats and shit. And ladies and gentlemen, if you live south of the Mason-Dixon line, especially if you live in Atlanta, there is absolutely no reason on earth why you should be walking around with a hoodie, a track coat, any type of coat at all in September. Not in Atlanta. In Atlanta in September, and most states bordering Atlanta, South Carolina, North Carolina, et cetera, summer lasts well into October. It's still pretty warm here. In fact, it doesn't get cold here until about November. So if y'all were wondering, it's coming from Tom. It is not choice for you to be walking around, especially in the club. I saw these people walking around in the club with these damn track coats on and hoodies. And I just could not understand. I could not grasp why these people are walking around with these damn hoodies on and coats. Winter will get here soon enough. And I know you guys are just waiting to pull these winter pieces out of the closet. Most of them have been backed up in plastic bags from last winter. So the girls have already seen what you can give in the wintertime. So there's no need to rush it. Trust me, winter will be here. Enjoy the last few days of summer. Do the T-shirts. It's okay to do shorts still. But people, I promise you, you look a fool walking around in October and September with a coat on. Any type of coat, you just look a fool. And that's coming directly from me. Okay? And I'm just telling you that to help you. Now let's take a look at the phone lines and see. Did you guys watch the Music Awards? What do you call it? The VMA? I don't watch MTV, so I don't know what the hell that thing is called. But if you guys saw that, give me a buzz real quick before Alexis comes on, because I'd just like to know what you all thought about it. You know, who gave you what you wanted? I heard Lil Wayne has his lip pierced now. I mean, the homosexual homophobe now has a lip piercing. Now, when will it end? I just have to ask. When will the madness stop? I see a couple of phone numbers on the line already. Let me go directly to my Midwest tea spiller. He's bisexual and likes to play with the boys every once in a while. What's up, Hanif?
What's going down, Tom?
What's up, man? I was just talking about Lil Wayne. I know you wanted to touch on that.
Oh, yeah, the VMAs, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, that man got his bottom lip pierced, and I don't know what to say about it. You know what? Anybody seeing that performance and seeing how close him and T-Pain was up on each other, like, they was, like, really, really overexcited for each other that night.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I can only imagine what it must have been like.
It was kind of like light grinding, like he was bending all over in front of him. T-Pain was running up behind him, behind his ass and shit.
What?
I'm like, wow.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but he got his lip pierced now, so I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. You know what I mean?
Sounds pretty messy to me. Yeah, I can't picture a rapper that's supposed to be as hard as him. Yeah, he has all these tattoos, and now he has a lip piercing. So don't get
it. I guess he figured he made enough money, you know, fuck what people say. I mean, he already kissed baby in the mouth and, you know, did a whole bunch of other gay shit, so why not get his lip pierced, you know?
Yeah, I just don't fit the image of a hip-hop star to me.
I think they might be trying to kill hip-hop slowly but surely with all this download activity. Did you get a chance to go to the YouTube video rap report on Soulja Boy?
I just saw that, and my goodness, I was shocked. And then they had another video of him getting dressed in front of the camera, and it says for the girls only. And I don't know, I'm a little suspect of Soulja Boy now.
Yeah, go on I tell all the viewers, just type in rap report, Soulja Boy straight or gay, and you'll probably get a new perspective on rappers, period.
I guess it's true what they said in that book, Down Low.
Oh, you read the book, Hiding on the, what's it called, Hiding in Hip Hop?
Yeah, Hiding in Hip Hop.
I heard that's pretty. It's a good book. They don't name names. I think it's like Superhead. How she, you know, they can't name names, but they can give you a pretty good clues.
Right.
We
right.
definitely know exactly who they're talking about. But Lil Wayne is supposed to be in that Hiding in Hip Hop book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder which encounter that is.
Well, I'm gonna have to get the book myself.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
I just want to know why that man got his lip pierced. And actually, who told me about it, because I actually missed the VMAs. It was a straight guy that told me about it, and I thought he was lying. So I said, let me Google it right now. And I went on YouTube, and they already had the VMA performances on there. And, you know, he wasn't lying. I saw the whole performance that he did, because he had a few performances with a couple different artists. But that lip piercing, it wasn't like he was trying to hide it with a cup or anything, either. It was very, you know, here I am.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of suspect to me. I don't know about you, but...
And boy, that pants was so tight on his ass, it was like they was capris. His fat old ass was falling out. He do got a fat ass, Tom.
Who, Wayne?
Yeah, he does.
You know what? Wayne's gay. I think he's a homo. He's bisexual, probably. And he's one of those people, he's a self-hating homosexual.
Well, Tom, the only time...
Allegedly.
That's like, you know, we're around the same age, but I've only heard, don't gay people call each other mother and father in the ballroom scene? That's only where I've never heard a straight person use that term for another man, so that's an alarm right there. Then you know, real affectionate with another man who's around your age, kiss him in the mouth, saying you're showing respect. I mean, what more does he have to say?
Right, exactly. I agree with you.
I might have to go to L.A. or New Orleans to get my turn, Tom.
Oh, my. But you know what? And what trips me out is that gay people really support this man, and he's denigrated gays in his music. He's clearly homophobic, but gay people, you know, flock out to the stores to buy his music.
Because they know he's sending subliminal gay messages in the music. I guess the straight people don't realize. But every time he says no homo, it's very funny because he ironically says something blatantly homosexual. And it's like, you know, he's doing it on purpose because he got this song called Wheezy Fucking Baby. And he's like saying a whole bunch of shit, you know, a whole bunch of, he said a lot of homo shit in all his lyrics. You just got to pay attention.
Were there any other gay moments on the Music Awards last night?
I got to, well, you know, they're going to replay it 1,000 times, but they got different performances. I saw the performance on YouTube, 2008 VMA performance at YouTube.com.
Yeah, maybe I need to go.
But, man, when I tell you, I mean, you could be in line. Ain't no man supposed to be that close to behind you even in line. And T-Pain was literally running after this man through the audience, like, literally on his ass.
Wow. So let's welcome your partner in crime to the show, Ms. Aviaz. Ms. Aviaz, welcome to the show. We're just talking about Lil Wayne performing last night at the Music Awards. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. He's slowly but surely coming out of the closet for y'all.
So I wasn't hallucinating, Miss Aviance, was I?
No, you weren't, honey.
So he got his lip pierced now?
Well, it appears that he has his lip pierced, but, you know, I mean, sometimes they have those magnets and things, so it could have been just something for an illusion.
Right.
But why do it unless you're being flamboyant?
Right, exactly. Everybody in Radio Land, welcome to the show. My co-host, my partners in crime, we just have joining us Ms. Aviance, also from the Midwest, Hanif Carter. And everybody's wondering, where is Rhonda Jenkins? Rhonda is still around. She made it out of Atlanta safely and away from the 5-0. Rhonda is out on a date tonight. I spoke with her momentarily moments ago. She's away at the movies or something. But we do anticipate Rhonda calling in sometime later during the show once she is done with her date. So just to give you guys a heads up on that. What did you think about the Music Awards last night, Ms. Abias? What was your take? Were there any other subliminal gay moments?
Not that I can take note of. I really only watch for, T-Pain and Lil Wayne and for Rihanna. And Rihanna, you know, she gave me what I wanted. Hair,
really?
Body, clothes. I mean, you know, I just live for her energy.
So, Ms. Abias, am I looking too deep into this, or was their performance a little bit too friendly with each other?
Well, you know, I mean, when you're a recording artist, you have to also be an actor or an actress. So it's supposed to come across in that way to leave people thinking, So, you know, it looked to be rather friendly, but I'm sure it was just for the camera.
Well, he did bend over in front of them. They was like chasing them behind each other.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, just like that last performance with Chris Brown and what's her name? Ciara. You remember that from the last award show?
Mm-hmm.
And that looked to be relatively friendly, too. But, of course, she's with 50 Cent, so it probably is nothing. It's just an illusion. But, that's what we're supposed to be doing is talking about it the next day, or they didn't do their jobs.
Yeah, you're right. Did you check out the Soulja Boy video?
Yes, I did. And what I gathered from that is that there's definitely some homo play going on there. You know what I mean? I mean, they're probably young and bisexual because it's kind of sort of popular to be bisexual right now, although even the young boys that are bisexual, they don't often talk about it, like the schoolboys. Schoolboy Realness, shout out to you guys. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of them are just like that, so to speak, and they just like to hang around other guys. They act masculine, but when they're behind closed doors, you know, a little licking and laughing going on up and through.
Oh, okay, a little openness, open sexuality.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Hanif, I know you can't stay on for the entire show, so whenever you have to leave, just let me know. We do have on the phone... Yeah. Just let me know whenever you have to go, Hanif. Ms. Abias, and you as well, I know you're going to stick with me, but whenever you have to get out of here, just let me know. But we do have on the phone now our special guest. I promised you she would be here, and whenever I make a promise, I always come through. So at this time, I want to take an opportunity to welcome to the show the one and only. You guys have seen her on YouTube. You've seen her on Atlanta Public Television. She is the Vagina Power Queen herself, and I'm so honored and thrilled to have her on the show with me. And so without any further delay, I'd like to invite you guys to join me to welcome Alexis K. Tyler to the show. Welcome to the show, Alexis.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
Yes, absolutely. Say hello to my partners in crime, Ms. Abias and Hanif Carter.
Hey, Ms. Abias. Hey.
Hey, Alexis.
And Hanif Carter is also on with me.
Hey,
how you doing?
Carter. All right.
Everybody that's listening right now, I want you guys to open up a browser, go to YouTube.com, and type in Alexis, A-L-E-X-Y-S-S, K. Tyler, T-Y-L-O-R. I want you guys to type in Alexis K. Tyler, and it will give you an idea of who we are talking to. I know everybody already knows who she is. Let's jump right into this interview with Ms. Tyler. Alexis, give us a little background on you and how you became known as the Vagina Power Queen, so to speak.
Well, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I grew up in a very religious home. My mother is a preacher. There's a lot of preachers in my family, so I dealt with all that religion and the oppression about sexuality and being told it's a sin, and if you're homosexual, if you're bisexual, if you have sex before marriage, it's a sin, you're going to hell, and not being able to, not being taught about the love of your body and taught about your sex organs and the spirituality of your sex organs. So it was so much contradiction in the church and so much judgment in the church and fear around sex, and then I also experienced it because I was in lesbian relationships as a teenager, and actually put out of the house, actually lived in the cult, and because of not being able to talk about.
You said you were in a lesbian relationship?
I was in plenty of lesbian relationships. Yeah, I had pussy before I had dick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, okay. All right, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I saw, although we were told these things were wrong and this is not what you do, but then I saw preachers and married people secretly fighting their addictions with having homosexual relationships, lesbian relationships while they're married to the opposite sex, abusing their children. I just saw a lot of pain and hypocrisy in the church. So that's what is the foundation of my show. It's all the lies and the hypocrisy in the black church and the black community around spirituality and sexuality and separating spirituality from sexuality when you really can't do that. So I decided to do a Keeping It Real show talking about all the pain and all the issues that affect us.
Right, and it's definitely keeping it real. Now, Alexis, some people will say that you come across as homophobic, and in fact, and in some of your YouTube videos, it does appear as though you're attacking homosexuals in some way. Would you agree with that, or can you clarify that for us, please?
No, I don't agree that I'm attacking homosexuals. People see what they want to see, and obviously there are a lot of people that are sensitive and are uncomfortable or have a lot of discomfort about their own view of who they see in the mirror and their own views around who they are and how they define themselves. I'm just basically keeping it real. I mean, I haven't heard anybody go attack the CDC or anyone that works in the health department or works for the AIDS outreach programs, gay men that report these things to me, as well as statistically. These things can be verified because I'm really waiting for somebody to not just attack me and say that I'm homophobic and there's no way I can be homophobic because I was in lesbian relationships and lived a bisexual lifestyle. But I'm waiting for somebody to do some videos or to really shut me up by bringing some evidence that what I'm saying is a lie. There are a lot of men that are on the DL. There are a lot of women on the DL. There are a lot of old men that try to pick up these little young boys and trying to fuck these boys that get put out of the house because they're gay or for whatever reason. There are choir directors and preachers that's fucking these little boys in the church or trying to fuck them. There are school teachers that's fucking these boys. HIV and AIDS is on the rise in the gay community as well as the straight and the lesbian and the bisexual community. So people might get upset with the way that I'm bringing this information. There are gay men secretly sleeping with women's husbands and not telling them. There are gay men that target straight men. It turns them on just to say that they can sleep with a so-called straight man. And he's really not if you're sleeping with him. He's not straight if you've got a girl
right.
and a wife.
Yeah.
This shit is ridiculous. So basically, I'm calling
too.
It like I see it.
I say that, too. If you're sleeping with somebody that's supposed to be straight, they're not straight.
Straight to the next. Never mind.
Well, you know what? But Alexis, I kind of want to stay with you on that point because I think people probably misinterpret some of your videos and your commentary because you really go hard on these so-called DL people, which I understand because I think that there's a problem created by these DL guys that's bigger than what we are willing to admit. And one of them is the HIV infection. But you have a problem with these DL people, am I right?
It's not about me going hard on one particular group. I talk about
right.
women, too. I talk
right,
about your jump-off bitch, so tricks. I mean, it's not, I'm an equal opportunist. I don't just
right,
talk
right.
about gay or bi. I mean, I just talk about issues that affect me and that affect the black community.
Right,
and
right.
I'm going to keep doing that, and like I said, if people say that I'm going hard and I'm hypocritical and I gay-bash, I will just shut the fuck up if you can prove me wrong. But too much of this shit is going on. And, you know, like I said, a lot of the places, because I used to hang in the gay club, and I always kept it real about my background. I've been around gay men. You know, I still hang with them now. So if y'all don't like the stuff I'm saying, you need to stop telling these, you need to tell these DLs, and all these gay boys to stop feeding me for the tea, baby. You need to stop just from telling me what the fuck is going on. I know about the bathroom. You know, I know about the threesome. You know, I know about the motherfucking raw parties. I know about the Sodom and Gomorrah shit. you know, them parties where you pay $10 to get in and you fucking sucking, you jacking, and you coming on the ceiling, on the roof, walls, the fucking cups and shit. And then, you know, I'm gay, black, gay pride. You know, I know about all the shit. I know about some of the boys coming down here and douching their ass out and don't eat all fucking day.
Wait.
They don't know what kind of dick they going to run up on.
What?
They want their asshole to be empty to take all the motherfucking y'all's dick. So, I mean, don't play. I don't
I like
know if
that.
They have a problem with it because I'm a real woman saying the shit and I'm not gay, or because I'm saying the shit, I'm not saying it in a sweet, nice way because I want people to like me. But I'm just going to keep it real.
Tell that shit how it is.
Yeah, I that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to keep it real and just give it to us like you normally would give it, you know. But you just totally threw me there. Alexis, tell me how you came. How did you come into like knowing yourself the way as well as you do in terms of your sexuality? How did you get to the level of comfortability with your sexuality?
I guess just going through being abused a lot and being abandoned and disrespected by people looking for love in the street, trying to get approval, especially when I dealt with, you know, my sexuality and being in lesbian relationships and knowing this is what I felt at the time and this is how I want to express my sexuality, but being condemned by the church and my family and having to live outside in the cold and feel like nobody understood. And it wasn't like you were saying before we started speaking that it's cool now to be bisexual. It wasn't cool, you know, in late 80s and early 90s. And even back then, if somebody was to be jumped on that was gay or in a lesbian relationship, you called the police and the other person that attacked you said, well, you know what, this is a lesbian relationship, this is a gay relationship. The police would not have filed a report back then. They would have left you beat up or half dead, and it wouldn't have been a big deal because you're gay or you're bisexual or you're a lesbian. You were considered not even human. So going through those experiences and knowing what it felt like and having tried to get acceptance and approval, realizing you can't be loved by anybody when you don't love yourself. Because you don't have to say it out of your mouth, but it's the energy that you give off, and people feel that. So I was really mistreated and abused in a lot of relationships because I didn't have a value for myself. So I had to realize if I wanted to get what I was seeking, I had to first give that to myself.
Right, I see. Alexis, I'm glad you touched on the difficulty of how it was to be bisexual during that early time years ago. I think a lot of the younger kids nowadays, the gay kids and the bisexual kids, really don't understand what it was like before it was so-called, quote-unquote, cool to be gay. I mean, because I still don't think it's cool to be gay. Cause I
they think it's a trend these days. Like, it's the popular thing, just the thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you still get ridiculed for being gay. You still get looked at funny. You still, in some places, will get gay bashed. You know, in some places, you still can even possibly be killed because of it. But it is much more accepted now, especially in places like Atlanta and other major cities where, you know, there's a large gay population like Washington, D.C. and other places.
A lot more mainstream, too.
Yeah, I mean, it is more accepted. And I think a lot of the kids nowadays have somehow taken for granted what people have been through before, you know what I'm saying, to make it this way, you know what I mean? So can you kind of touch on that a little bit more of just how difficult it was, I mean, as far as your family life and how your family rejected you and so forth, and really forced you to be able to accept yourself because nobody else would, so you had to accept yourself.
I don't really know much more deeper than I can go, you know, than your own mother, you know, actually putting you out in the cold and me sleeping in the car and having nowhere else to go and not having a job, a stable job, and no money. I just can't really get any deeper, you know, because to me that's just some raw shit to do. Know, to your own child. I could see if I was disrespecting her house or I had people in her home, I was stealing things or cursing her, trying to fight her. It was nothing like that. You know, I just loved who I loved. They happened to be a female, and I would see her outside of the house, and it was never anything that was brought in my family's face. It was just a rumor. So because you heard this and you verified that this was true, and besides, I was legally an adult at the time, and you're going to put me out in the street. And I never went home behind that, even now. You know, I would never go, like, stay in my mother's house, although I've, you know, forgiven her. And I still talk to her and had her on my show.
I was about to say, I've seen her on your show. So is your relationship repaired now?
Well, like I said, you know, I have forgiven her. But there are some things that I feel it takes two people to do. So if you can be that vicious towards your child, it's just not about me forgiving her and trying to repair something. Because as a mother, there is something in you that tells me that's kind of off.
Yeah.
If you could do your own child like that, so are have you forgiven yourself? Have you recovered? Have you dealt with your issue? See, that's something that we need to deal with more. It's always about, well, the child's not doing what I want them to do or not behaving the way I want them to be, or you ain't fucking who I want you to fuck. You're a boy, so I want you to fuck a girl. You're a girl, so I want you to fuck a boy, and I want you to do traditional marriage and have children. A lot of times when our parents attack us like that or put us out, that's not a sin. You're not doing something wrong because you're an individual and you have your own life and your own path. And only you know how you're born to express your sexuality. And many times our parents want to impose shit on us, and because you don't want to do what somebody else wants you to do, then you're the sinner and you need to be the outcast. And that's what I had to change in my mind about myself, and that's what I'm trying to get other people to see. So back to that gay bashing shit, this is not about hating gay people. This is basically, like I said, gay boys and boys, men of different ages. I was just talking to a young man about 3 hours Friday night that contacted me from Florida A&M and was saying that that shit is going on down there real hard about them college boys and them older men fucking, trying to fuck them college boys. They just want some ass. They don't want to have relationships with them. They want to run all kind of, put their A game on and trick them boys. This is about letting people know, whether you gay, straight, bi, or whatever, you don't deserve to let any man play you and use you. So I'm trying to make you aware, and at the same time letting you know, look, you need to love and respect yourself and stop trying to get your ass away or suck dicks in the motherfucking bathroom at the club trying to get somebody to love you, because it's not going to happen like that.
Talk about
right.
Looking for love in the wrong places.
But you know what, Alexis, you're absolutely right, and that happens here so much. I mean, the stuff that I have seen, you probably have heard it all. I mean, I'm sure, but
yep.
It's just it's amazing that the things that some of these guys do that are quote unquote DL, they just want to fuck, and the lengths that they go to just to get the young guys. You know, like when for instance when Morehouse comes back in session, I mean it's like open season over there. You know, it's like the hunting season has started. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's like the boys go wild over there at Morehouse. I mean, and I'm not no shade to Morehouse. I graduated from Clark, but I mean, I'm being dead serious though. Like it's just crazy on all the AUC campuses. It's crazy over there.
And
so
he also told me Friday. I wanted to say this. I also heard it about. I think it was happening up here in Atlanta too. He said that the health department came over there because you know they got the HIV test now that'll give you your results, swab your mouth. You take your DNA from your mouth and can tell you in about 20 minutes if you're positive and negative. They said there were so many college students that lined up to took that fucking test, and then so many of them damn swab came up positive, they had to shut that testing down.
What?
Yeah,
wow.
Okay. What? Yeah, but I'm fucking wrong with the shit that I'm goddamn putting down.
Right.
My information is wrong. It's hate. It's gay bashing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now, Alexis, you have a young son, right?
Yeah, my son just turned 20.
Oh, he's 20. Okay, now how does your son feel about, you know, your lifestyle and your openness about your lifestyle and things of that nature?
I mean, my son supports me and supports everything that I do, and he encourages me to keep on doing my show. I mean, cause like you said, he's a young man. You know, he's dating, he's sexually active, and, you know, just got out of high school, and he's serious, and he thought it. He's like, Mama, you know, I don't even want to use the bathroom. You know, I remember those times he wanted to use the bathroom, and he would call me from high school and say, Mama, come get me so I can use the bathroom at home. And I'm like, what you would have did if I wasn't home? He's like, well, I just would have held him because, Mama, they end up sucking dicks in the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
Eating all on the toilet seat. You know, skiing all on the floor. He's like, I don't even want to use the bathroom. Because it's so nasty. I mean, so he sees how nasty the women are and the high school girls are, too. They filthy. And they doing all this stuff in the public school.
Now,
so, yeah,
Alexis,
let's just keep it real.
Now, Alexis, I got to ask you this because I know I've seen you on your show, and I know you're very protective of your son.
Yeah.
But how do you keep him from falling prey to these so-called DL guys that just want to try to trap the straight boys or, you know, I mean, because it's, I mean, truthfully, not everybody, but there's a small, small percentage of guys that purposely go after straight people because they get a kick out of it, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, it's no shade in Atlanta. You know, it's so many guys here. Like, you're attracted to who you're attracted to. If they happen to be straight, then you just move on. But are you worried that some guy is going to go after your son and try to turn him out or whatever? Or is your son straight, first of all?
No, my son is straight. And, no, I don't worry about that. I mean, like I said in the video about booty holes, dick sucks, and toilet bowls, when he was little, I would follow him to the bathroom because I knew predators were in the bathroom. But I've always, the way I talk on my film is the way I always talk to my son. So I do not worry about him. I don't follow him. I feel like if he just want to be gay or bisexual, that's something he already know that he can let me know. And I'm not going to put him out of the house. I'm not going to turn on him. I'm going to be there so he can be the best he can be and know how not to get infected, not to be abused. So I know
you
that
know
if
what?
He's...
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you because that's a very important thing, and I wish more parents would follow that model because a lot of parents go crazy when they find out their kids are gay. And
yeah.
I know my mother, when she found out, you know, and unfortunately somebody else told her, I didn't have a chance to tell her, but my mom thought, well, she didn't put me out the house. She still loved me, but my mom went off the deep end because she thought she had done something wrong. She thought that she didn't do something right raising me or that she had made some mistake along the way. Or she felt like because she didn't get married to, you know, didn't get married to my father or didn't find a husband, that maybe because I didn't have a male figure in my life that something was wrong in that area. You know, she blamed herself, and it took a long time for me to convince her that it was nothing that she did, that it was the way I was born, you know what I mean? It took her a long time to get to the point of, okay, it's not me, you know, I guess to forgive herself because she had to get over it for herself. So the fact that you can say, you know, you would love him, you would not throw him out the house, and you would still want him to be the best he can be and talk to him about not getting infected and things of that nature, I think that's a very beautiful thing because if a lot more parents did that, I think the HIV rate would probably go down just from the parental interaction, you know.
Right.
But, and also, I think it's good, too, that you don't, you know, worry every single day that, you know, some man is going to get my son, you know, because I don't think that's what most gay people are trying to do.
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, because that's like when we talk about the reality show thing. Yesterday I was doing some taping with one of my gay friends. As a matter of fact, he's on the video where he was wearing my T-shirt on the YouTube thing. And we were here. We had done some taping at my house. And he was like, Alexis, you have a son, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, how old your baby? I said, he's 20. And I said, well, do you want to, I said, he ain't here. Can I find a picture? He was like, uh-uh. He said, do not show me your son's picture. He said, because if your son look anything like you, I'm going to let you know right now, I'm going to go after your son. If I'm around son and I'm in the room with, he just came out straight. I told him, and I was like, well, I'll just say, he's like, honey, don't even tell me his name. I don't want to know his name because I'm going to tell you right now, if I see your son, I am going to go after your son. And all I could do was just laugh. And I said, well, you know, I understand that. And if that's what he wants to do, that's not an issue with me. I just don't want nobody hurting him or taking advantage of him. So some men, you're saying that it's not, but I know that it is. You know, I talk to all types of gay men that a lot of people wouldn't think were gay and hung out with them personally. And I know a lot of them do see good-looking men, and they know those men are straight. But it's natural. Just like if I see a man I find attractive, he might be taken. But if I find him attractive, I'm still going to find him attractive. It has nothing to do with who he's with. So gay men are the same way. A lot of times it's just a fantasy or a challenge. If they find somebody attractive, even though they might think he's not attainable, if he's around them long enough, you can't tell me that at some point or another he ain't going to never try to flirt or make no kind of pass to see if it's possible.
Well, you know what? When I was in college, and I actively pursued this guy who was straight. And I only did it because I truly and honestly thought he was gay. This was the prettiest straight boy I've ever seen in my life. And me and him are good friends to this day. And he's now married with the child. But for the longest time, I swear I thought this boy was gay. I've never met another straight dude that was as pretty as he was. I mean, just like the whole metrosexual, before metrosexual was ever even thought of, he was the definition of that. And I thought he was gay for the longest time. And of course, I finally realized later that he's not. But Alexis, I want you to really get, like, down into your character that you give on your television specials and stuff and really take us there and talk to us about this whole – because we're going to go to the phone lines a little bit later. And Ms. Aviance and Hanif, if you guys have questions, feel free to jump in. But I want you to talk to us about the whole, vagina power thing. And I guess you got, I'm sure you got a word for the males out there too, But just, give it to us like you know how to do it best.
I mean, well, it's really not a character. I mean, that's just basically who I am. I mean, you're talking about the whole concept of vagina power, penis power,
right, 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 right. And I don't mean to, suggest that
well,
you're
people,
not being
people
real.
People think it's a character. You know, a lot of people think that. But that's just basically how I am in my real life. But no, what I'm saying is I'm talking about spiritual sexuality. I'm talking about personal responsibility and accountability and letting people realize that your sex organs are spiritual and that they're very powerful. And also talking about tantric sex. The power of energy and talking about chakras and auric fields, just giving the people an education about the higher scientific aspects of our mind, our body, and our spirit that we don't know about, also dealing with the abuse issues, dealing with the pain that fractures our spirit, that wounds us and fractures our soul. That's why it's so important not to have a lot of promiscuous relationships, and if you've been abused a lot, to really learn about the mind, body, and spiritual connection of vagina power, penis power, and sperm power, whether it's a man-man relationship or man-woman or woman-woman relationship. These are still very powerful spiritual ties and soul ties and spiritual sexual connections that people of color especially don't realize the power of pussy, dick, and sperm.
Right. Now, Alexis, did you ever have a moment, because you talked about on one of your shows, this is a legendary clip, dick will make you slap somebody. Did you ever have a moment like that where, you had dick that was so good that it literally make you want to smack somebody?
No, I had some dick that made me want to slap a motherfucker and goddamn pull a gun on a motherfucker for goddamn when the dick didn't want to play games and shit.
Well, tell us about that. I want to hear about this.
You know how some men can do? They know they got good dick and head, and they know how to manipulate that shit, and then they think it's funny because they usually fucking the shit out of you because usually they're a hoe, and they done fucked the shit out of a whole bunch of other folks before you came, and they fucking 10 or 15 more while they fucking you, but they want to make you think they want to settle down and be committed to you. And then once they get you in a position where they see your ass is weak and half goddamn retarded about their ass, then they want to play games and treat you like you ain't shit. And that can make plenty of women and men snap on their ass, and they end up waking up damn dead or fucked up one.
So it's not necessarily the act of sex that makes you want to go crazy, but it's what they do after they give you the dick that makes you want to go crazy.
No, it is the act and the emotion that you feel. They busting you wide open in the walls and shit hitting that bottom. And you might not have had nobody with the right dick and manipulation on that motherfucker to goddamn hit them curves and corners and shit like they driving down a racetrack. Then they know they got you fucked up and their feelings getting involved every time they hit a corner and shit. Then they want to goddamn play with your fucking feelings.
It's not me, I'm sorry.
Ooh,
it's not me,
coming out of my eyes, I swear.
Oh,
God.
So crazy.
I can't motherfucking breathe.
That is so true, though. That is
true. It is so true. There are some guys that like to, they know they got good dick, so they try to take advantage of you with that, and they try to, they try to get you emotionally because they know that you're going to want it again. And so they use that as a weapon against you.
Those are the smart ones. I mean, not everyone is that smart. Some people got good dick, good ass, and everything else, and still don't know what to do with it. You know what I mean? They don't know how to manipulate a situation. And I'll go on record as saying this, as saying to someone, you could really work me if you knew what you were doing. And they told me, I'm not trying to work you.
Mm.
Wow.
That was an epiphany for me as well. But I mean, just in my mind, I was thinking this person has so much power, but I will never allow them to work me because they don't know how to do it.
I've met guys like that too, where I have said to myself, they just don't know. They can almost have anything they want if they
exactly.
If they knew it.
But they don't know. They don't have enough sense to work it like that.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely right. I've met a couple of dudes like that. So yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to make a comment about when you were saying something about when parents attack, you know, parents of children that they think are straight, you know, and then, of course, the children come out of the closet or they have an experience or they have an identity crisis or issue. But the parents attack out of fear. And we as people, we fear things that we don't understand. It's just like not understanding what a ghost is or a spirit is or a demon is. We have a tendency to cringe because we don't understand something that's different outside of us.
Yeah,
but,
people
right, you
fear
know,
what they can't understand and they hate what they can't conquer.
Exactly. And that's where the
You're
fear
right.
comes from. It's a lack of understanding. And then you were also talking about, you know, people looking for love. But, I mean, many people that start off on this journey, maybe they were looking for love initially, but a lot of the behavior that we see today has more to do with being hurt or disappointed or having a painful experience. And, you know, and then they refuse to care anymore, number one, about themselves on any level, spirit, soul, or body, and about others as well. If you don't care about yourself, if you don't love me, you can't love anyone else. And even when I talk to people right now, one of the main things I ask a man or a woman, whoever it is that I'm dealing with, what is your relationship with your parents? And if a person tells me, I can't stand that bitch, I don't like my mama, but, you know, I can't even deal with a person like that. Unless you tell me that your mama raped you or allowed you to be raped or something like that, maybe, because I know you need counseling and maybe I can understand where that hate comes from. But outside of those type of situations, if you don't love yourself or your own mama and your parents, there's no way in hell you're going to love me.
Absolutely.
It's not going to happen.
Right. Alexis, can you tell me, have you ever had to fuck somebody up that gave you some good dick and mistreated you or walked out on you for some reason or something of that nature? Have you ever had to fuck a dude up over something like that?
What you mean, like physically fight or something?
Well, not necessarily physically, but, I mean, whatever you would call fucking them up. I mean, if you had to cut their clothes up, slash their tires. I mean, have you ever been driven to do something that you wouldn't normally do because of some good dick?
I think, yeah, when I was younger and immature, that I did. But, you know, I've learned now it's important for you to learn to control yourself and to control your emotions. So it's like, I was hurt when I started doing my show. So I just took that energy and putting it into my show and put that passion and that boldness and putting the metaphors in my show because I knew it would be more powerful. If I take that anger out on the man that hurt me, it would only just, you know, go into that person and diffuse into that person. But if I did a show and I see the movement I created, it went so much deeper and was much more powerful because I realized there were other men and women that were feeling the same thing that I felt that said, yeah, say it. I always felt what you're saying, but I couldn't really quite articulate it the way that you're doing, and you helped to open my eyes. So now I learned to just take that pain and use constructive outlets for it.
Now, Alexis, a lot of women, particularly here in Atlanta, a lot of women feel like, I don't know why, but a lot of women have this idea that they can turn a gay man straight. And you talk about vagina power. Tell me a little bit about vagina power, and then also tell me, is it possible for a woman to turn the gay man straight?
No, because like I said earlier, vagina power is about spiritual sexuality. When I'm talking about vagina power, it's deeper than physical sex, thinking
right.
that because you have a vagina, you know how to work it, and you know how to do porn, and you watch any porn girls, and you watch any strippers, and you know how to pole dance, that you can get any man that you want. No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, just like every man can't get every man that he wants. It's all
right.
about learning to balance and build the energy. I mean, basically, you would be a fool. That's not what I would do. I'm not going to put myself out there trying to screw everybody just because I feel like I got vagina power and I'm going to put myself in that position. No, because you need to strategically pick who you deal with if you want to lessen the drama and you want to lessen the one-night stands and then fucking somebody and finding that's all you were is a fuck. But basically, people feel what they feel and love who they love. If a man was liking dick and pussy before he met you, he going to keep liking dick and pussy while he with you and after he leave you, unless that's what he decides. I don't want to do that no more.
Well, is it okay to have you said, just being just a fuck. Is it ever okay to just have just a fuck and that's all it is a fuck?
Absolutely, because it's an exchange. I'm getting something from you, and you're getting something from me. And as long as you know, like, for example, if someone is using you, if you are fully aware in your mind that you are being used, then you're always at an advantage. It's only when you don't know that you're being used, when you're at any form of a disadvantage in life ever, because in general, sexuality, that is an energy, but it's an exchange that two people agree to do other than something that's forced, that's undesired. It's an exchange.
Okay.
Whether it's for money, whether it's for fun, whether for whatever it's for, you're getting something from me and I'm getting something from you, and it doesn't necessarily have to be equal, but it's an exchange, and if people continue to do it, then it's okay.
Okay, Alexis, do you see it that way also?
No, because it's not something that I would do. I just, like, you know, at some point people say, I mean, if that's what you, what two people want to do, then, you know, that's what they do. But see, like I said, and you agree to it. But I deal with the spiritual energy of it, the chakras and the auric field. And I actually deal with getting into subatomic structures and subatomic particles of cells. I realize that we're not made of flesh and just the physical penis and dick and assholes that you see. We are first made of energetic grids. We're made of vibrations and sound. So everybody, if somebody's sleeping with a lot of people, I don't want you touching them. Because I know you're carrying the energy on so many levels of everybody that you screw, everybody that you came with and exchanged sperm with. So that is going to impact my energetic grids and create a shift in the vibration of my cortex. And I don't want that because I'm at a higher place now. So I don't sleep around. I don't suck dicks in bathrooms and cars and randomly for money. Nothing. I feel like I'm too high for that, and I know that I'm divine. So even if I got to work a job or find another way to create some revenue for me, I will not sell mouth, pussy, or booty hole and say it's an even exchange because I got some money and you got, no. I don't live that way, but if somebody else does that, as long as they don't do it to me, fine.
Wow. That's interesting that you raised that. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines in just a moment because I know there are a lot of people that have questions. Before we go to the phones, Alexis, you're working on a project now that you need people to help you with in terms of coming on your show to talk about their sexual, I don't know what word I'm trying to use here, but describe what it is that you need and what type of people you're trying to have for your show.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Actually, I'm shooting a pilot for a reality show, but it's not, the show is not all focused on, like, me sitting down and just interviewing one person. I actually want to take it to the street. So I want really interesting, lively, upbeat people that are very comfortable with their sexuality to actually let me interview them. Some of them I'll be actually doing on the street. I'm doing one this Wednesday at the salon. I get my hair done on 10th Street from 4 to 7. It's going to be a group, and then do some individual interviews of some people that I really, really want to talk to that are very comfortable and very open, gay, lesbian, bisexual, straight. I'm actually even looking for some people that are transgender or pre-op or you carrying both or you like to dress up like a woman. You really like to express how you love to take dick. I mean, everybody that's going to keep it real like I do, those are the kind of people that I want to be a part of this new show that I'm shooting in Atlanta.
Okay, so if anybody's out there who wants to be part of it, how do they reach you?
They can reach me at Alex, AlexKTylor, AlexKTylor@gmail.com, or they can hit me in my YouTube inbox. And I'll respond. So I'm just trying to see, I'm taping now. I've been shooting all weekend, shooting today. I'm trying to see if people can show up for the Wednesday night on 10th Street at the salon from 4 to 7 at Bella Cheek Salon or any other day this week. I'm just shooting as much as I can from people from all walks of life and all sexual preferences.
Okay. Alexis, I want to ask you a question about what you were talking about earlier with this whole energy thing. What is I know I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, but the chakras?
Saying
that right? Mm-hmm. Where does that come into play? Can you give us an example?
Yeah, when you deal with, like the Indians talk a lot about this, and unfortunately this information came from our ancestors in Egypt and Africa, but it was lost.
Yeah,
when you get into Asian medicine, you talk about the meridian point, which is what they use to do Tai Chi and acupuncture with. Okay, well, that's what we are made out of first. We are not, and if you look at physics, the laws of physics, that we would tell you that we all come from energy first. Even when you deal with the atoms have to come out of energy. They don't produce themselves. So the chakras, they deal with seven main chakras in your body. The first one is your root chakra, which is at the base of your spine. The second one is your sex, where your sex organs are. The third one is above your navel. Yeah, that's your gut, your solar plexus, where you feel something in your gut. The fourth one is your heart chakra. The fifth one is your throat chakra, right there with a hole in your throat. The sixth one, I'm sure you're familiar with, is the third eye right in between your eyebrow. And the seventh one is the crown chakra. So what I'm teaching, trying to bring to our people, is what, you know, white folks and people of other races have always secretly taught. And even when you deal with tantric sex, that sex is an exchange of energy, and it's also spiritual, mental, and emotional. It's not just about an ejaculation or feeling or moving on lust. You're supposed to actually transfer energy to a person where you can actually heal them if they have a cold, balance their energy if they're out of line or they're stiff or they're not feeling well. You're exchanging, and there's actually a ritual involved in sex because it's supposed to elevate that person, not just get them off, not just give them some money and send them on their way until I find the next victim, because then you're a psychic and a sexual vampire. So I'm teaching the importance of learning the higher levels of sex and then picking partners where you both are educated about the spiritual parts of sex and you can balance each other and heal each other.
And these chakras, these are like energy receptors, right?
Yeah.
Now, does this also come from, like, you're familiar with Kemet, of course, you said about Egypt. But
of course,
teachings from Kemet.
Kemet teaching.
Yeah, because I've studied a lot with Kemetic teachings and have, you know, discovered a little thing about chakras and about how to, you know, create higher energy within yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Well, I'm learning a whole lot now. Alexis, so tell me this. If I'm having sex with my boyfriend, which one of those chakras should I, tell him to touch to give me that energy exchange?
All of them, because we already know that root chakra, which is at the base of your spine, and that second chakra where your sex organs, that those are very highly stimulated. But we're not taught that energy moves up and down your spine. That's why a lot of times we become sexually aroused, we start feeling it all in our back. You know, start sweating in our back and even back your head or around your neck, because that energy moves up and down your spine. But a lot of times we just centralize it all in our ass and all in our dick and pussy. So it just stays there. And once you ejaculate, you lose the energy and it doesn't go anywhere.
And,
so while
and,
you're having...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add, Alexis, and I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, and where thought goes, that's where energy goes. And, you know, and it's a common misconception that there's good energy and there's bad energy. There's only intentions. If your intention is that it's good or bad, then that's what it becomes. So what you really think is what we become, and what we put out there in our bodies through the thought process is what's going to actually happen. If I think that I have cancer, chances are in a few months I'm going to develop some form of cancer. If I think that I'm loving and I put a lot of thought into that, if I think I'm a whore, I'm probably going to develop into a whore. So a lot of that is things that we can control, but we need to understand the energy process, like you were saying earlier, that everything is energy. We are all energy right now manifesting in a specific dimension where we're able to talk and communicate with each other through this process, but we're vibrating, the molecules and the cells in our body are vibrating at a rate, and they have come together in a cohesive way that allow us to appear the way that we appear and communicate the way that we communicate. But in essence, everything that we see around us, whether it's a chair, a TV, a phone, or whatever, it's all energy vibrating in a certain level and appearing solid, but it doesn't matter. It's just energy, everything.
You know what? The next time I have sex, I'm making a note of these chakras, because the next time I have sex, I want them to do these chakras on me, because I want to feel this exchange of energy that Alexis is talking about. I mean, I'm really intrigued about this, and I'm going to definitely get online and look this up after we get done on the show. Alexis, you want to take some phone calls from some of the listeners before we go?
Sure.
Okay. Hanif or Ms. Avian, did you guys have anything else for Alexis?
Not right now. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. All right, let's go to the phone lines. I know everybody's just eagerly waiting to talk to Alexis Tyler, and I have a caller from an unknown phone number. You're live on the air with Alexis Tyler. Go ahead. Caller, are you there? Okay, I have to move to the next caller. Alexis, I apologize early. You know how Blog Talk works. Sometimes you get folks on the line and they don't say anything, so
okay.
we'll move right to the next caller. A caller from a 347 phone number. You're live with Tom. Go ahead. Caller from the 347. Go ahead, please. Okay. Detroit, 313. You're live with Tom. Go ahead. Hello? 502. You're live with Tom. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Who is this? Yeah, who is this?
This is Isis. Could you say hi?
Isis?
That is my first time even hearing about Alexis or whatever. So I'm just, you know, listening in, and it's kind of interesting, pretty much, just listening.
Okay, well, go check her out on YouTube, and you will find her videos very, very interesting.
Yeah, that's what's up. I will be on in a minute.
Okay,
thanks a lot for
calling. Caller from 973 phone number. You're live with Alexis Tyler and Tom Blumenthal. Caller from the 973, go ahead, please. Okay. 910, you're live with Tom. Go ahead.
Just listening.
Okay, you don't have any questions for Alexis?
No, I don't have any questions.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Let me see. 201, you're live on the air with Tom. Go ahead.
What's up, Tom?
Hi, who's this?
This Kai.
Hey, what's up, Kai?
Chilling. And I want to say also hi to Ms. Aviance. Ms. Aviance, I think you are so intelligent. I love listening to you. You always have something that's a brush of fresh air to listen to. I really love listening to your commentary.
Oh, okay, Kai. I'm glad.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
And I forgot the brother's name. What's up? But I just wanted to say to Alexis.
There's some subtle shade I detect here.
Yeah, a little bit.
I forgot his name.
No, not to him, but that's Hanif, but go ahead.
Yeah, Hanif, what's up, Hanif?
Not much, chilling.
Alexis, wow, you are so deep. I mean, like, real is not the word. You're beyond real. And I wish that you could, and I'm sure it's possible, I think that you should come to one of these balls, like one of the really big balls, and before the categories start, I think you should do your thing, because a lot of these young kids in the balling scene, they really need to hear something coming from a person like you. Bendy, I mean, the way your delivery is aggressive, but it's also so smart and real, and it's so refreshing to listen to. I heard it, and I could not stop listening. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna call him and give her props, because we need a voice like you in the balling scene. I really think that the kids would relate to you. Your voice, first and foremost, your voice is so commanding, and it's commanding, but it's very feminine and it's very black. And you have you're very articulate, you're intelligent. I just really wish one of these balls you just go and just speak to them and be just as real and as hardcore as possible, because nothing is really reaching these kids. There's a lot of good people in the balling scene. They just can't reach these kids. We need someone like a female Al Sharpton, something that's just like really going to say, you know what, I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to hear, and I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you in a way that you don't want to hear it. And just make them listen to it and make them embarrassed, because they don't get embarrassed. I think that's a big problem with these kids. They're just, nothing embarrasses them. You know, the moral fibers are just like evaporated, and I think that that's the biggest problem, one of the biggest root of the problems with the balling scene. They have nothing to be ashamed of.
But all right.
I just had to call in and give you your props. I'm going to start listening to your show on YouTube, and I'm going to start seeing some comments. Just stay with us, and please, if you can get in contact, Tom can probably hook you up with one of the house leaders. I think you should go to a ball.
Alexis, have you ever been to a ball? Are you familiar with the
No, I'm not. I would like to go.
Okay, well, we have to talk about that. You and I can talk later. I can kind of fill you in on what the ballroom scene is all about, because that Kai's making a good point. That would be a very interesting type of setup to have you at a ball to really, you know, give the kids some of the knowledge that you have. And I think the way that you, it's like Kai said, the way that you express it is just need to hear it.
Thank you so much, caller. I appreciate you so much.
All right, Kai, are you done, Kai?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to continue to listen, though. But between, you know, Aviance, I mean, wow, I never knew. You're brilliant. I love the way you speak as well. And Alexis, I'm going to stay glued. So I'm just going to listen until the show's over.
Thanks for calling in, Kai.
You're welcome.
Okay. Alexis, how does that make you feel when you hear those types of callers who, you know, really get empowered by your information?
It feels good to know that people are listening, because I get a lot of negative feedback when people don't like me and they always have something derogatory to say. So when I know that there's something that I say that inspires people to be more of who they are and love themselves and embrace themselves and then reach out and share with the people around them, it does feel like, okay, well, what I'm doing is not in vain.
Right, exactly. All right, back to the phone lines. A caller from Atlanta 404, you're live on the air. Go ahead. 404 caller, go ahead, please. Hello.
Just listening.
All right, 716, you're live with Tom. Go ahead with your question or comment for Alexis.
Listen, it's enough.
Hello, who's speaking? Caller, go ahead, please.
I'm just listening.
Caller from the 404, you're live with Tom. Go ahead. 404 caller, go ahead, please.
Just listening.
Everybody who's on hold tying up my phone lines, I want you to make a comment or ask a question or something. I'll just hold, you know, the holding, just listening, please, not today. Unknown phone caller, you're live with Tom. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, you're live on the air. Go ahead. Okay. I have a caller from a 908 phone number. You're live with Tom. Go ahead.
Just listening.
Okay. I have another unknown caller. You're live with Tom. Go ahead. Call up an unknown phone number. Go ahead, please. All right. 410. Go ahead with your question or comment. Caller from a 410 phone number. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. You're live. What's your name?
I'm just listening tonight.
Okay. Everybody wants to just listen. 347. Yeah. I know. I want them to engage, though. I like to be engaged with the conversation. 347, you're live with Tom and Alexis. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, hi. You're live with Alexis Tyler. Who's speaking?
Hi, Tom. This is Kelly. I'm just listening.
Oh, no questions for Alexis?
No, I have no questions, Tom.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Aviance. What's going on, darling?
I'm doing loved.
Okay. Did you notice how forceful she got with that? Thanks a lot for listening.
Tom, you're always trying it, Tom. I hope to see you this weekend in New York City.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I love seeing you.
I hadn't made up my mind yet, but there's a possibility. Will you be taking me out to dinner?
Excuse me?
Will you be taking me out to dinner?
No, you need to be at the ball. We need you to record this. This is going to be one of the best balls of the year.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anything special planned?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of things going on. It's a Sweet 16 for Awards Ball.
Oh, I see. I can only imagine. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Kelly, for listening.
Okay.
All right. That was Kelly, Ms. Rahi, Ms. Alexis. caller from a 410 phone number. Oh, wait a second, Kelly. Let me mute your. Kelly, hold on 1 second. I'm trying to mute your call.
Hello.
Stand by, Kelly. I'm muting your phone call.
Okay.
Sometimes the systems get slow. Ms. Alvarez, do you have any more questions for Alexis?
And I send it as an email.
Well, I mean, I understand that she is a minister, and do people have a problem with you being a minister and being so candid, you know, with your delivery?
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah,
how to
they
say,
do.
So, that's the only way I know how to send it, honey. I just
can y'all hold on 1 second? I'm trying to mute Kelly's phone call, and the system is frozen.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It wouldn't happen on this phone call. Of all callers. I don't believe this. Oh, God. I don't believe this is happening. Alexis, go ahead and continue, because I didn't know that you were a minister, but tell me about that.
Well, I got ordained through the Universal Brotherhood in 2001, because I wanted to go into the churches and prisons. But I found the churches had a difficult, and I wasn't this way then. I was soft and nice, and I wanted to come in and talk about spirituality and sex. And they weren't ready for it here in Georgia. So I just decided to stop trying to please everybody since I wasn't getting in, and just to really say the things I really wanted to say. Based on what I saw in the street. So I just did my own show, keeping it real, and I really don't even use my minister's license right now.
What denomination are you ordained in?
It's non-denominational. It's based on your service and your gift. So when you get ordained through the Universal Brotherhood that's in Florida, they basically determine if they're going to ordain you or not based on the service, whatever your ministry is that you perform for the community.
Okay, I got you. That's very interesting. Go ahead, Ms. Aviance.
Now, Alexis, do you have like a healing type of a center for healing and transformational something or another? I think someone was mentioning that to me earlier today.
Hello?
Yes,
Kelly, hold on one second. Kelly, I've been trying to mute your phone call, and somehow or another, it won't mute you. I don't know why. It got stuck when you came on. So let me try to get you your call muted, or you can hang up and call back. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alexis. I apologize.
Yeah, I have a nonprofit organization, the Center for Healing and Transformative Studies, and that's an extension of the show that I do, which is basically designed for the healing, for the education. It's also, you know, I create my books, my DVDs, my CDs, and my lectures through my center.
Okay, great. So this is a place where people can come see you and visit and make appointments and such.
No, I don't have the physical place where people can come see me. I just have a nonprofit organization set up. And people, if they want to, you know, they can make donations to my organization, or they can purchase my items online in my online store.
Okay,
shop
very good.
Shop.vaginapowertv.com.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. I cannot believe I cannot get this phone call to drop for some reason. Let me try to go back to the phones and see if I think the phone system is frozen. Alexis,
okay.
you know how this thing works on Blog Talk. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it just goes crazy.
Yeah,
so. And usually that happens when I'm getting overloaded with phone calls with people trying to get through. Let me see. Caller from a 410 phone number. You're live, but I don't think it's going to take. It's not pulling the call up. Alexis, I have to say I've really enjoyed having you on. It's been very enlightening, to say the least.
Thank you.
Just having the opportunity to talk to you has been a thrill because, like I said earlier when we spoke, I have been trying to reach you for the longest time and have been unable to reach you. And when I finally got the response back from you on the email, I was just, like, flabbergasted because I couldn't believe I was actually talking to you.
I'm honored by you. I'm glad to know that people are still interested in me, wanting to interview me, wanting to know what I do and share me with your audience. I really appreciate you as well.
Absolutely, and I'm really, really intrigued by this whole idea of the energy forces that can be transmitted or transferred from one person to the other during sex. I had never heard of anything like that before.
Well, yeah, and that's why I'm going to do a gay love series and actually write about it. I was working on several books on vagina power, penis power, and sperm power, and the power of sperm and the spiritual connection. Even though it's a homosexual sex act, there is still a very powerful spiritual exchange and spiritual connection. And I just wanted to say I think a lot of our people are listening to metaphysics and things that are coming out and saying, you know, well, if I think this, I am it because I think it, you know, if I think I'm a whore, then I'm a whore. And what I'm saying about that is sometimes we don't get the full instructions on that view. A lot of us many times repeat stuff or take on stuff, and we don't realize we're being programmed by the media, programmed by books, or programmed what people tell us on a subconscious level, and it's much deeper than that. Because if you are engaging, you might not consider yourself a whore, so you feel like you're not in your mind. But if you are in promiscuous sex acts with different people, or you sell an ass, you know, and there's no commitment, there is no common goal to get together to be able to assess what the person's needs are, what their pain is, and what their shortcoming is, and then you are using that energy to tap into that vulnerable, that broken place, and to rebuild energetically the structure of that chakra, then it's not a productive sex act. And there is something that is prostitution on some level. You're prostituting yourself. You're playing yourself to believe, well, if I think I'm not a whore, if I think I'm not a prostitute, but I'm picking up people that do have that mentality, you are still, whether you don't want to acknowledge it consciously or not, see, subconsciously our bodies communicate with each other. Just like a phone tower is transmitting energy for me to have this conversation on this cell phone. If there was no electromagnetic frequency in charge, you wouldn't be able to hear my voice at this time. There is a connection. Whether I want to say I'm not on the telephone because I don't want to think I'm on the telephone, I'm on the fucking phone. And on a conscious level and on an energetic level, there are still electromagnetic grids that are connecting and oscillating and vibrating through the air. Although I say I don't see them, they are still there. And our people have missed the boat on that because from the children up, we're supposed to.
Hello? Alexis, did we lose you? Ms. Aviance, are you there? Oh, dear. We've lost her. Hello? Hello, Ms. Aviance, are you there? Okay, Alexis, are you on? Ladies and gentlemen, it appears we're having some technical difficulties at this time, so everyone just stand by while we try to reconnect with our special guest, Alexis Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, just stand by, stay with us while we try to reconnect the phone system. Ms. Aviance, if you're out there listening, give us a call back, and Hanif, you also, while we wait for Ms. Aviance and Ms. Alexis. Alexis, are you still there? Okay, let me try and restore the system. I don't know what happened to it. Looks like the system is frozen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the technical difficulties. You're listening.
listening to Serve the Kids Radio on blogtalkradio.com/servethekids with creator and host Tom Blumenthal. Call in now at 347-996-3610.
Hey,
yeah, what's cracking?
Okay, I apologize for that. The phone system, as you can tell, went crazy again with everybody trying to get through. Let me see if I can find Miss Aviance and bring Miss Aviance back. And hopefully Alexis will call back in also. Miss Aviance, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we lost Miss Alexis. Hopefully, let me see if I can get her back on the line. Alexis, are you there? Yeah, we just lost Alexis. I do apologize, everyone. Let me try to call her back. Hanif and Ms. Aviance, you guys can just kind of parlay amongst yourselves until I can get her back on the phone. I'll be right back with you all.
Hanif?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I wasn't. I think she was in the midst of probably saying something about, like, you know, a lot of the new movements that are out right now, like, you know, like The Secret, you know, and a lot of things like that. A lot of these things are not original, but are spinoffs of other things that have existed for years and years and years.
Yeah, and I'm glad that she touched on that, the comedic teachings, because there's a lot of things that a lot of black people sleep on, because actually,
Ms. Aviance and Hanif,
yeah.
I have Alexis back on the line with us.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Alexis, so we're gonna let you get out of here because I didn't want to keep you tied up for the whole night. We've really enjoyed having you on, and I want to give you a big round of applause because I've enjoyed having you as my guest, and I'm sure everybody out in Radioland has enjoyed you as well. I hope that you will come back and join us again in the future. Tell us about the project, what you're working on one more time. You're doing this reality pilot.
Yeah, and I'm shooting it in Atlanta, and I want real people, real feedback, people from all sexual preferences and backgrounds, people that are really comfortable with their sexuality, secure with speaking in front of the camera, letting the world know who you are and how you live and the things that you enjoy sexually, whether your likes, dislikes, pains, frustrations. Those are the kind of people I'm looking for to be on set with me.
Okay. All right.
And
so you guys just heard it directly from Alexis Tyler. Alexis, how can they contact you?
They can, because I see YouTube's right down right now, so they can contact me through alexktyler@gmail.com. And then when YouTube comes back up, they can hit me in my YouTube inbox and let me know. So far, I've been getting a really good response. I got the vaginapower.ning.com site. It's also a social network they can join and chat and leave messages with me. And some of my members in the vaginapower.ning site have already responded, so they're going to be taping with me this week. So I look forward to anybody that's open and wants to be on camera and talk openly and honestly about their sexuality and their experiences.
Okay, and YouTube may be down because everybody's trying to get on YouTube to see who you
Wouldn't
are.
Wouldn't that be nice? I think they're doing maintenance, though. But hopefully you'll help blow me up. I need exposure.
Before she goes, one or two quick phone calls, and I'll get a last couple of questions from Hanif and Ms. Aviance. But let me try to get one or two more people on here that may want to talk to Alexis. Caller from 917. You got a question for Alexis?
Hello?
You got a question for Alexis?
Tom?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I wasn't even listening to the whole show. I'm sorry. But I'm just listening now.
Okay, who is this?
It's Francis.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hold on a second. 201, question for Alexis or comment? 201, go ahead. Yes, question for Alexis.
Oh, no, I had to call back in because your system knocked me off, Tom. It's time.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. It was, out of my control. One last caller from a 678 phone number. You're live on the air with Alexis. Go ahead. Caller from the 678. Go ahead, please. All right, Hanif or Ms. Aviance, any last words for Alexis?
Well, like I was just telling Ms. Aviance, I'm really glad that you shed some light on that, Alexis, as far as the Kemetic teachings, and because a lot of black people are asleep on that. They have no idea about Kemet or about, you know, because a lot of our history books have been brainwashed, and they teach about Egypt, and if you actually, you know, just to talk a little bit about it, you have to go back to where it all started from, which is with the darker-skinned human being. But I'm glad you shed light on that, and hopefully people will start getting into Kemetic teachings and, you know, the chakras and everything.
Well, you know what? I mean, to keep it real, don't just say darker skinned human being. The so-called nigger, the so-called melanated
pig
is the oldest being here that they want to diminish and say you ain't nothing, and that your people came here on slave ships. We ain't even been taught how in our history, I mean, there's that Obama is making history and during the Democratic National Democratic Convention.
Well, actually, this is all about our land anyway.
Okay, because the Moors.
The Moors, exactly. A lot of people are not. Yeah.
They were already here. They were running North America. They had all their constitution. They had their own laws, their legal system, system of commerce and finance. They were the first ocean navigators. You know, they were building ships and traveling on ships all around the world, even if you look in Egypt. But see, they want to tell you that Egypt belongs to white people.
Yep, and the white man has brainwashed a lot of people, and a lot of people don't know about the Moors. They don't know about Moorish Americans. They don't know about Kemet. They don't know anything about that.
But see, it's not required. I didn't even know because my family
didn't know either until, you know, I had to stumble across it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have to change that now because they're saying Obama's making history as the first Democratic nominee for president, or he would be the first black president. That's not true because there was a president, John Hinson, that was a Moor. And I don't know the other names of the other ones, so he wasn't the first black one. You can even see this stuff on YouTube, but there I was told there were four or five other black, so-called black that are of Moorish descent, which are melanated, Negroid people, that are our ancestors that were presidents. I think there was something that with the Constitution had been changed over. It's like when the Europeans stole this land and actually shifted the government. Well, a lot of our Moors, have to be honest, our black people, so-called black people, helped to give this to white folks. They sold us out, too. So we always got some Judases somewhere. So when George Washington, he was, the eighth president? He wasn't the first. See, all this knowledge, it's time for this to come out, and that deals with our self-respect, too. Whether we gay, bi, lesbian, we have to know who we are and where we came from and how our ancestors contributed to so much to the foundation of this civilization.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know that these last names that we have are all particularly European slave names from our slave owners, and we really don't even have our original identity.
Before Alexis goes, I got one caller who just texted me and said he's on the line from a 501 who's been dying to talk to you, Alexis. Go ahead, caller.
Hey. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
This is Aries from Walk For Me Wednesdays. What's up?
Okay. What city are you calling from?
Tom, are you all in my business? Are you trying to... Is you trying to come through? Is you going to come through? Is that what?
Aries,
should I leave the door locked?
No, Aries. No, we just started this last week when we bring callers on. Because this show is nationwide,
okay.
I like to ask people what city they're in so that people listening will know.
Okay, I'm calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, thank you. That was so nice of you to share that. Now, what's your question?
Well, I was just wanting to, first of all, you know, say hi to Hanif and, you know, Miss Avian. Miss Tyler, I am, you know, a fan of your videos, and I was just wanting to ask you a question. I know you mentioned, you know, penis power a lot, but I really haven't seen, you know, the videos where you talk about, you know, penis power, and I was hoping, you know, you could either mention it now or maybe, you know, do an upcoming video about it to really, you know, tell us about, you know, the spiritual effects of, you know, the penis and the sperm that you were mentioning earlier, you know, just drop some of that knowledge off to us.
Yeah, I was trying to explain it when I got cut off where I was talking about the power of intention and not believing everything. Or do I have time to get into that since you're saying I need to wrap it up?
No. You don't have to. I didn't want to hold you beyond the time that you had it. But you have to take all the time you need, please.
Yeah, well, I don't know which part I was cut off. I was saying the power of intention, and we need to be careful who we listen to try to tell us about ourselves and what we need to think and how we need to see the laws of attraction and metaphysics. Because your intentions can be set on one thing all you want to, but you have to be clear about the intentions of another person because everybody that comes into your space, whether they're talking to you on the telephone, through the mail, or in person, their energy is going to still impact your field, whether they dent your energetic field of your chakras and your auras, or whether they permeate and pierce that field. like I was, when you were talking about intentions earlier, well, if I don't think I'm a whore, that means I'm not a whore. Okay, well, if you're sleeping around with different people and you selling ass and you selling dick on the corner every night, you're a whore. You prostitute yourself. If you sell yourself out to impress people, you're still a whore. So you don't have to be a whore because you're actually having a sex act. But we got whoring going on different levels, and that is a negative energetic exchange, because in your mind you could be a good person. You could have good intentions. But when you are engaging people that do not have the same intentions, do not have the same agenda that you do for your best interest, and you are trading dick to dick, sperm to sperm, because when I break this down, it's not just the penis. It's the head of the penis that has energy, that projects energy. You have the shaft, you have the testicles, and then you that has information in it, genetic information as well as subatomic information.
Okay.
You're also dealing with sperm, but I deal with sperm in two components. You have seminal fluid. The fluid is one thing, the sperm is another thing. So both of those have an energetic grid and an electromagnetic field, just like I'm talking to you on this phone, because there's an electromagnetic field being transferred through the air that I can't see. So even if I say I don't acknowledge it, it doesn't mean that it's still not there. It is still occurring, although it's not my intention to see it, and it's coming from a tower. So a lot of these things are occurring subconsciously. You're being subliminally contacted, and your energy is engaging another person. So if that energy from that sperm and that penis and is going into your rectum, or you go into another person's rectum, see, now that is another level of being a receptor. I have a vagina, so I'm a plug, so the penis goes into me plugging into energy. You have a rectum, so a penis is going into you, so now you are the feminine, you are the female. You are the male version of the feminine receptacle. So now you have the male and female energy. I have male and female energy. But now you are shifting that energy from more masculine to, and you're raising up more of the feminine energy that you carry. So you are being a plug. So you're receiving that, and then somebody's releasing sperm into your rectum and your anus. That is your energy field, your chakras. We have chakras in the ass as well as chakras in the penis.
We have chakras in the ass, too?
You got ass chakra, you got ass power, dick power, nut power, sperm power, pussy power, mouth
so
power.
So is the interaction between the male and male, is that different from what it would be the energy field of a male and a female, or how is that interaction, how does that differ?
It's not really a big difference because it's an energy exchange. But usually when people say, well, I'm just sexual and I'm not butch and I'm not skim and, you know, I'm just me, that's not true, because usually somebody's going to submit to that dick. Even if it's two men, somebody on some level
is going to submit. Aries, you gonna submit.
So whether you giving dick, you know, or you getting it, somebody is going to assume more of either the masculine or the feminine at some level. So like I said, when a man is being penetrated, he's being plugged, just like I would be plugged in my vagina, then he is assuming the feminine. And his energy and his hormonal balance is going to shift, and he's going to build up and actually exude more of the feminine.
But you know what, Alexis, I don't think you have to necessarily become feminine just because you're getting fucked in the ass.
No, that's not what I'm saying. When I say feminine energy, it doesn't mean you're dressing like a woman or that you want to have a sex change or that you talk like a girl. That's not what I'm saying. Because I read energy all the time. I've been around men that have big old muscles and they dress like men and they talk with bass in their voice, but I can still sense the feminine. And I know they like to get plugged.
Well, we call those, on this show, we call them muscle queens.
Yeah, so it's like you're still exuding more feminine energy to me than masculine, although your package is masculine.
Right, yeah.
And that kind of coincides, not to cut you off, but coincides with what people call, quote-unquote, gaydar, because when your energy is high enough, you can almost, like what she's saying, you can almost like touch maybe a door to a person's house that you've never been before, and you can pick up vibes about that person.
Yes.
Just like when I see certain guys that walk past me down the street, it's not because I'm hoping they're gay or I'm assuming everyone is. It's just I picked up some type of energy, some type of a vibe from their aura that's, you know, given
that. And not every person that you pick that up from is active. Not every single individual. I mean, I deal with everyone on an energy level. When I meet people, if I walk up to you, if I look at you, for a couple of seconds, I pretty much know all about you, and God forbid if I touch you, but I've always been that way since I was a child, even before I knew what it was like I do now, but I was always that way. But my point is, when I was talking about the thought process and thoughts, you know, what you think about yourself and where you place your energy, I personally feel, and I only can speak for myself and how I operate on this earth plane, connected to the energy grid that I'm connected to, I know that even though I may think a certain thing, I want something to happen, it doesn't always occur in the way that I want it to happen. But when I do put those thought processes out there, I feel that people who are not meant to be in my life, whether it's through a friendship basis, whether it's through a lover's basis, whether it's through a fling basis or whatever, I feel like when I zig, they zag. I've been I had an opportunity to meet all types of people, but sometimes those connections don't happen. And I tell the universe, I'm very grateful that that connection did not happen, because apparently that person wasn't meant to be in my energy field in that manner. Although we do have the opportunity to force the issue, we can force ourselves into other people's energy if we want to and make them take notice of us and all of that kind of stuff. But I don't do that.
Well, I'll tell you, Hanif has really scared me a little with this force field talk that he's talking.
Well, it's true.
Did you have another question, Aries, before we let you go?
Oh, no, that's all. I just wanted to, you know, say my little comment, say hello to Alexis. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Aries. I expect good reviews on this show online. Let's go to JR Supreme. JR, are you there? Okay, I think we just might have lost JR. JR, can you hear me? JR, can you hear me? Hello? Just when I go to JR's phone call, the system stopped working again.
Oh, wow. I understand.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get through one or two more calls and see if it looks like some of the calls. 757, are you there? Caller from 757, go ahead. Yeah, some of the calls are working and some are not. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk tonight, but they really are giving me a whole lot. 973, you're live on the air with Tom and Alexis. Go ahead. Call from the 973 phone number. Go ahead, please. Okay. 404 caller, go ahead. 404. Alexis, any last – well, wait a second. 404, you're live with Tom. Go ahead.
Just listening.
Okay, thank you so much.
You know, fortunate to have so many listeners.
Yeah, I really appreciate all of them. I really want them to talk to you, though, because I know they have questions, because they comment on your videos all the time, and now when they have you live on the radio, everybody wants to just listen and not ask any questions. 352 caller, call from a 352 phone number. Go ahead. Caller from the 352 phone number. Okay, they disconnected. Let me see here. 562 caller, you're live with Tom.
Hello.
Hi, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
This is Kobe.
Oh, what's up, Kobe? How you doing?
Nothing. I'm all right. Just left the gym.
Oh, okay. Are you calling to ask a question of Alexis?
No, I don't have a question for
her. Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
All right.
Okay. Okay, now we have JR on the phone. JR, can you hear me? I'll try this one more time. JR, are you there? Maybe something's wrong with JR's phone. Alexis, any last words before we let you go?
No, I'm so honored. I appreciate you and your co-host for, you know, greeting me and welcoming me and having such an interesting and dynamic conversation. It's been really nice to be here. Just thank you.
Well, I'm just thrilled and thankful that you took the time out to come on the show and be a part of it. And that means a lot to me as well.
Yeah, sure. We can keep in touch, and anytime you want to do something else with me or have me come back, I'd love to.
Absolutely, and I hope everybody that was listening heard the call that you made earlier for people to come on and be on part of your reality show pilot. Alexis needs people to come on to be very free and open with their sexuality, and to candidly talk about their sexuality in a very open.
Especially if it's pain or something like the pain I went through. If they really want to talk about, you know, coming into a place of healing and self-acceptance and self-love and the family thing and what it was like, you know, especially dealing with the Black church and just being ostracized and all those stories, they're going to help and reach somebody. And I want people to just show their real honest side. I think we're coming to a place now, we've come to a very powerful spiritual place now where so much sexual energy is rising at the same time that spiritual consciousness is rising. So we have to deal with ourselves on higher levels of awareness. We're forced to. So it's so important that we come from a place of love and understanding and overstanding so we can actually transform and heal from a lot of the messages we've been given that are not true, that
Amen.
Abound us.
Right, right. Hanif, Ms. Agnes, any last words?
I just think that she's definitely been a blessing and very encouraging information, and I think that a lot of people are going to get a lot of, you know, things out of this tonight, and they're going to pass the word on. And, you know, not only is she going to get exposure, but the information, more importantly, is going to get exposure, and she's the vehicle. So I feel very blessed to have spoken with her.
My sentiments,
right.
Exactly, and there's a lot of people, like you just mentioned, that need to get in tune with their higher self, and through you, I myself have, like I said, have reignited my interest in the comedic teachings and ascertaining more knowledge is, you know, available.
And Alexis, give your email address one more time for everyone out there listening that may want to contact you to be on your program.
It's alexktyler@gmail.com, and they can also join my site and leave messages for me there, vaginapower.ning.com, and it's a lot of, I mean, basically gay, straight, bi, black, white, everybody is on vaginapower.ning.com and networking and making friends, and so I check my messages daily there as well if they want to join as well as talk to me or be in chat.
Okay. Well, there you have it, everyone. A warm round of applause and a thank you to Alexis Tyler, the Vagina Power Queen herself. Alexis, we want to have you back again in the future when you get this reality project off the ground and get ready to.
Why are you talking about inviting me? Now, you telling everybody else to be on the show, and I asked you to be on my show. You don't want to be on my show.
No. I will be more than happy to come on and talk about my sexual openness, I guess I can call it. Yeah, I have no problem with it at all because I'm very comfortable with my sexuality. Unlike a lot of straight people, they have a problem. Well, not straight people, but a lot of gay guys have a problem saying they like dick and all that stuff. So I have
no
problem.
It's straight people, too, that have a problem saying they like dick.
Oh, really? You mean tell me straight women have a problem saying they like dick?
Oh, my God. It's some women that have written me all the time and be like, how can you say dick? How can you say that word? You're so vulgar. You're so nasty. They can't even say penis. They say his stuff, his thing. And some of these women are 40 and 50 years old.
Wow. Oh, my God. And, Alexis, I wanted to also say one of my listeners is saying they want to get in contact with you about having you at a ball. And
okay.
We can talk to you later about what a ball is. He's going to be emailing you. His name is Kai Balenciaga.
Well, so when I go, what do they do? Like dress up? Will they teach me how to dance and stuff and move? And will they help me be fierce, honey?
Well, you know what? It's funny that you asked that question because I know Kai could help you be fierce. Kai
okay.
He could definitely help you with that. That's the person who called in the first time and was talking about having you at a ball. So if you want somebody to teach you how to snap, three snaps and a twist or whatever you call it, Kai can help you do that.
I actually wish I had some, you know, to actually, like, be on the set with me to help me, like, with my hair, my makeup, and just make me beautiful,
well, all you,
child.
All you had to do was say the word. One of my good friends, Darnell Mizrahi, is a stylist. He's a celebrity stylist. He does hair. His lover, Rico, does the clothing.
Mm.
They are at urbancheekstyling.com. And if you'd like, I could put them in contact with you. And Darnell is, you know, you talk about fierce. I mean, he will do a mean fry and die and lay it to the side on your hair.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk to them and definitely look at the styles that they create. Yeah, because I see them nice look. They tell me I need to stop covering stuff. They want me to come out, child, and be. They want me to give it to them.
Right. Well, if you got the boobs and the, you know, all that stuff, you know, show it. I mean, I don't want to. take you like the Busted Baby because I saw that video.
Oh, no. That's why I need help because I want somebody to help, you know, do me up in a tasteful, classy way.
Well, yeah, Darnell and Rico can definitely do that. Darnell and Rico from UrbanChicStyling.com can definitely make you look very classy and elegant and beautiful and at the same time give you kind of a chic, hip kind of look, you know.
Yay! Okay, great. I look forward to talking to them.
Yeah, so I'm going to give them your contact info and put them in contact with you. And, oh, my God, that would be great to have them on your reality show just, like, doing you up and stuff.
I know.
So we'll talk more tomorrow because I definitely want to – the only thing I'm concerned about is what will I say on here about my sex life, because my sex life is so active. I don't know what.
Oh, that's even better. I want to hear all the juicy, hot, nasty details.
Well, no, you know, some stuff I have to keep to myself because I never kiss and tell, so I got to.
Oh.
I'll need a copy of that transcript.
You ain't going to tell us no good stuff.
I mean, I can tell you some good stuff. I mean, I just can't tell you with who. I mean, that's the only problem.
Oh, no, I would never do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm definitely, like, I like to have a lot of sex. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta tell us about
it. I will need the transcript.
I mean, preferably with the same person, but, you know, unfortunately, that's not always possible here.
No, that's wonderful. I want to hear it. It's no good.
I want to have sex with this energy that you're talking about.
You know what? If you're having really deep, intense sex, you're already energetically connected. We're always energetically connecting, just like we're doing now. But whenever you have a sex act, some just are more intense and powerful than others. Just like some are more intense than others.
Sometimes I have, I don't know if I should say this now, but sometimes I have ejaculations where, you know, the nut doesn't quite shoot out all that much. And then other times, depending on who it's with, I mean, it might shoot, like, across my head or something. I don't know.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we want to hear this, child.
But your kids are going to read me tomorrow. I know they are.
So your ejaculations go across the room or the man's?
No, sometimes mine do. It just depends on who it is. Yeah, it really does. If I'm really into it, if it's like just a, you know, one of those like one night stand type of things, and even with some of them, like if it's really an intense moment with the person, I guess it's if the connection is there. I mean, like if I've had that energy transfer, I don't know, but maybe I've had the energy transfer and I just don't know that's what it was. But if the energy transfers, then the nut really goes far.
Damn, y'all making me wish I had a dick. Damn, because I want to experience what this like.
Miss Aviance.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Damn. I'm going to have to get me a strap on or something.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And when you can, let me know. Hopefully, you know, this week or the weekend or by next week, we can do a taping. And the way I do some of them, it's not always with people. You know, I do some of them one-on-one. I did two. I think it would be really interesting. I interviewed a guy. He's been partially paralyzed for, like, over 20 years.
Oh, my.
Still having sex. And he got a penis pump.
What?
And,
oh, God.
Yes. Oh. I did
a
that
paraplegic
show.
Never, you know what?
Tell me, that's wrong.
No, I'm asking, is he a paraplegic?
Oh, God.
That man, okay, from the waist up, he can move and he can feel, and he's very active. He has a very nice home. He cleans his home. He cuts his grass. He lifts weights every day. He takes care of himself. He doesn't have a nurse. Very independent, but still very attractive man. I mean, he wears expensive clothes, boots, shoes. I mean, he keeps himself up very well. When you see him on this show, like from the waist up, if I didn't tell you he was in a wheelchair, you wouldn't even know that he was in a wheelchair because he moves and he looks so healthy and he's still strong, a lot of upper body strength. But he got a penis pump, and he got like 7.5 inches of dick. And he's saying that these women can actually ride him, and his pump is better than Viagra because the dick stays hard all night.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe y'all gave me a need to try y'all some paraplegic dick. That dick don't never go down. You know what? I don't even want to discuss it. Y'all so wrong. I don't want to discuss this anymore. I don't want to talk about it.
Miss Aviance. Oh,
yes.
God. Every time.
That is too much.
Have you ever tried paraplegic dick?
No. Not interested, sorry.
Oh, my God. I've never tried that.
Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
Real, real. Y'all can't discriminate against handicapped people. Y'all don't want nobody to discriminate against y'all.
Now, I can tell you the best sex I ever had was with a guy with a limping leg. I'm not going to lie about that. That is the absolute truth. I do not know. This man had a club foot from almost like a damn caveman. I am not lying. But, baby, can I tell you that when I saw this man, when he walked into the room, I was hard immediately.
What?
I mean, and I never in my life had that experience. And this man had a literal club foot. When he walked, it took him 2 minutes to drag that foot.
What?
I'm not kidding.
But
that was
the
best.
Was good.
The sex, it really wasn't about the dick for me.
No,
you know,
I
didn't have the dick in that capacity. But what I'm saying is he just turned me on. He had a nice body. He was good looking. But he just had a terrible club foot. I could not take him home to nobody and all of that. But you know, that was a mess, but I swear. He turned me on sexually like nobody had ever turned me on before.
I know what you're talking about.
And,
it
had to be energy. It was just purely energy.
Yes.
He just had some
yes.
kind of energy that I connected to, and it was very sexual.
You're right. You saw past his physical, you know, handicap or disability, and you just went and tapped into that pure energy he was giving off.
Exactly.
Oh, my. Alexis, dear, I can't thank you enough. I really
can't. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to talk again. I definitely want to be a part of the taping, and I can't wait to talk about it. I really can't. So.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Thank you. Good night, Alexis.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Miss Aviance?
Yes.
Honey, this man with this foot.
I mean, not that I really wanted to reveal that, but I'm just saying, if we're talking about energy subjects and such, you know, I just wanted to throw that in there because I had that experience. I mean, you know, I'm not necessarily proud or ashamed of it, but because, like I said, he was very good looking. If he was standing still, no one would ever know. But, you know, when I first met him and he came walking towards my car, I said, oh, my God. But, you know, I'm not a shady person like that. I mean, I appreciated him for how he presented himself. But little did I know I would be attracted to him. We never became lovers or anything. But I can tell you we had some very, very intense sexual moments. And that was years ago, in case he's listening.
Wow. Well, I'm just so glad that we had Miss Alexis on the show. I'm still in awe that she was able to be on the show. And what a very candid person she is. I mean, she just lays it out there. And I like that about her. She just lays it out.
And for everyone who doesn't know, she is a real woman. She's not a femme queen. She gives femme queen teas on the phone. But she is a real woman.
Yeah, she is. Well, I got a few minutes left, and I do want to take some calls. I know this is going to be all the rave tomorrow. I wanted her to get a little bit more raw dog with it, but I guess she had to keep it somewhat conservative.
No, Tom, you said raw dog. I'm seeming to see how much you like sex here.
That has nothing to do with it.
I'm just playing.
Okay, I know. I didn't want to get that out there in the atmosphere because, you know, the girls will take it and run with it.
Hey, Tom. I want to interject something real, real quick. I just got a text message from one of Whitney Houston's assistants that's a personal friend of mine. And so this will be breaking news. You'll say that you heard it first on the Tom Blumenthal show. He says that Whitney Houston is going to be having vocal surgery real soon with a Dr. Steven Zeitel, who is the director of voice rehabilitation at Harvard, and that she has agreed to stop smoking. Now, the album is supposed to have come out.
Smoking crack or cigarettes?
Smoking cigarettes. The crack thing supposedly stopped several months ago, but she supposedly stopped smoking cigarettes now because she's being forced to health-wise, and the album has been pushed to 2009. So it's supposed to be the end of this year, and now it's going to be pushed to 2009. So if you hear anything like this in the news tomorrow or the day after, you know you heard it here first.
Well, there it is, everybody. Breaking news live on the Tom Blumenthal Show. Whitney Houston having vocal surgery to, I guess, correct some of the damage from years of smoking cigarettes.
Smoking a missile.
Right, and possibly even crack also. Quick shout-out to Drew Balenciaga and the AGA team. He's checking in over the Yahoo Instant Messenger. You know, I love Whitney Houston to death. I hope she's able to pull through
too.
This. I'm really saddened to hear she even has to have surgery. But, you know, as a vocalist, people, you got to take better care of your throat, you know. It's like you can't, you know, be out smoking and you can't be sucking long pipes and stuff like that if you're a singer, you know. But hopefully Whitney can pull through that and, you know, healing can begin. Let me take one or two more quick phone calls before we get out of here for the night. I have a caller online from a 646 number. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
What's up? Who is this?
This is Eric, Eric Alua.
Oh, hey, Eric. How you doing?
How are you? How you doing, Miss Avion?
Hey, Eric.
Is Rhonda back?
Rhonda's still on vacation. As a matter of fact, she just texted me and said she would not be able to make it. She's at the movies with a date. Say hi,
Hey, what's up, Anif?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on? I'm just catching the last part of the show. I'm just getting home. We just had a house meeting.
Oh, okay. Now, who had a house meeting?
The Allures.
Oh, the Allures.
New York Allures.
Oh, they have a chapter in New York now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You guys planning for this weekend?
Yeah. Are you coming up?
Well, it's too early to say. I don't like to reveal that kind of
thing. Oh, I know. I forgot. You like to do a sneak attack.
Well, I wouldn't call it a sneak attack, but, you know, the girls are always plotting, trying to get at me, trying to
get
me out.
Oh, to see whether you're coming or not. Oh, okay.
Right, so I don't want to give the haters a chance to set up some traps.
I heard you were just thinking about coming up.
That was probably Hanif.
No, that wasn't me.
Well, I know you said you wanted to see the category if JR was walking. So
but I don't know, is he going to do that?
Because
we never got him on the phone.
Who's
going to
do it?
JR.
JR said he was going to walk this weekend, but we found out later that they don't have labels at that ball in New York. As far as I know, they don't. I could be wrong, but I don't believe they have it.
Okay. Well, I guess if I see you this weekend, I'll say hi to you.
Yeah, make sure you do. If I'm there, I hope that you will come over and say hi to me.
Okay. Y'all enjoy the rest of the evening.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, Eric.
Somebody just texted me this long, drawn-out Yahoo message telling me how Whitney Houston injured herself when she was 8 years old, back home in Newark, New Jersey, and a pencil she was carrying went through her mouth and lost.
No, it wasn't a pencil. It was a coat hanger.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So if you're going to text the story, text it correctly.
Yeah, this is one of those Whitney Houston
fanatics. But it was a good try, though. That was good.
Yeah, okay. I have Whitney's albums, too.
She was running
like
with a coat hanger, and it went down her throat. You know how you take a coat hanger apart and untwist it? She was just playing with it and ran, and it fell down her throat, and it almost severed her tongue palate. But
No. You know. Oh, don't say any. Don't tell me no more, please. That's disgusting. Yeah. Oh.
But I mean, it didn't ruin her voice. What the surgery that she's having now is a result of physical abuse.
Right, the abuse.
Yeah, of
smoking missiles.
Right. Call her from 678 phone number. You're live with Tom. Call her from 678. Go ahead. Okay, caller from 410, you're live with Tom. Go ahead. 410,
Hello.
Go ahead. Hi.
Hello, Tom?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Dior.
Hey, what's up?
Good. No, I just actually tuned in. I don't really know what's going on. I just called.
Okay, well, you tuned in right at the end of the show. We're about to go off the air, but thank you for listening. We certainly appreciate it. And call back tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
I just got off work, so.
Okay, no problem. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about how can I phrase this? I want to get this right. We're talking about gay parents, basically. And I said earlier that I think it's crazy to have a gay child that's 1 year younger than you. And I'm finding out today that some gay parents have kids who are older than them, and I think that's just ridiculous. So tomorrow we're going to talk about gay parents and what the correct age is, and we're also going to have Rose Chanel on the show to talk about some behind the scenes from the Chanel ball. So we look forward to that. Ms. Aviance, it's been a pleasure having you all with us tonight. And Hanif, it's been a pleasure having you here. There's a special guy here in Atlanta who's just infatuated with your voice.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine.
Hanif, what is your email again?
Mr. Yadig, MisterYadigg at Yahoo.
Look, send me a thing at Ballroom Gossip.
I think I did because your name popped up.
Because I can't find you on my list.
I got you on my list. I will rescind it.
All right.
All right. Well, everybody, remember, whatever you do, don't let the kids serve you, but you serve the kids. Hanif and Ms. Aviance, have a great night. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
All right. Now.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Down and out, but you saved me, Lord. Oh, 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 oh. my heart, I love you for setting me free, for washing me clean, oh, for loving me, Lord. My heart.